This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are, we're going to talk about how remote cars are going to be controlled. It's going to really set your mind on fire. We're going to talk about an auto rebooking site that could make travel cheaper. We're going to talk about the Super Nintendo SNES that's still rocking sales. We're going to talk about YouTube and how it's made me angry. We're going to talk about Bitcoin and how it looks to be a sinking ship. Plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1255 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, February 1st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners, and of course a much warmer welcome to all of the longtime listeners and viewers as part of the Ohana here. Of course, in Hawaii, Ohana means family. So welcome to the family if you're brand new. But most importantly, what we want to do to get you started out right on day one here at the show is I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And all you got to do is go over to the website and get subscribed to the show. And you can do that right on the right-hand column of the website. You can subscribe via Apple Podcast on Android, via email, on Google Play, via Stitcher, TuneIn, via our standard RSS feed. And if you have no idea how to subscribe to the show, we got a more subscribe options that gives you details on how to get subscribed. Of course, you can subscribe to our newsletter. That's a little bit further down on the page. Feel free to do that as well. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today. And basically, it's got a same thing as a blog post. So you can come to Geek News Central and get the same information. But once you're subscribed, you never want to get behind. And we want to keep you abreast of what's going on. Of course, visit the Geek News Central site daily for all the great content. The writers are got about 200 CES posts to put up over the next couple of weeks. Isaiah out in Albuquerque is busy editing video. So far, he's staying ahead of them. The writing team, matter of fact, part of my writing team right now is down being sick down. So, right now it's primarily Andrew pushing stuff out. So we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. The flu is causing production delays, but we want our folks to be healthy. Of course, you can always watch this show live at when we start the show, live.geeknewscentral.com. And if you've never been over on that page, really, it's just basically got the live stream and a chat room there where you can hang out and chat with us. Of course, we're available on Facebook Live as well. So don't worry about that. Hey, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to go. geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Twitter is @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel by sending me an email. Let me know that you want to be part of our Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by using the keyword and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or play the show on, or watch or listen on blueberry.com. You can tell your Google device, okay, keyword to play the podcast Geek News Central. And if you have a Microsoft device, say, hey, keyword to play the Geek News Central. And you're going to basically, it's powered by TuneIn on the Microsoft device. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site with the GNC team, Podcast Legends with yours truly, and of course, The New Media Show with my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee. This show is sponsored in part by our insiders and also our good friends over at GoDaddy.com at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. This is a way you can save tons of money by visiting my website, visiting the page, and grab a deal. We've got 30% off new product purchases. You can get a .com for 99 cents. You can get a $1 a month economy hosting account with a free domain for the first 12 months. You can get a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Of course, you get a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder. Your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. I was just looking at the interface I have access to. It had been slow going in the month, and then things kind of, as I came back and started doing shows, started wrapping up on conversions. And of course, we're starting to put all the CES videos out now, and all those have a promotion for GoDaddy. So I think we ended up January decently. So again, thank you for your support as we head into February here. If you haven't supported the show by picking up a product at GoDaddy.com or becoming an insider, please consider doing so. It really helps us do what we do here, and it basically keeps the lights on, family fed, car insurance paid, which, oh, mine went up. And I need to shop around. It's I've got Geico, and I know some of you say, go talk to USAA. They're always more expensive. So, I got to do some shopping around, see what I can find. But anyway, hey, thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And of course, thanks for hanging out with us twice a week, or hanging out with me twice a week as I do the show. And of course, a big thank you to all our sponsors here at Geek News Central, or specifically GoDaddy and all the insiders. As I mentioned, the Jen has been sick, and Jen is the super trooper on Geek News Central. She writes a huge portion of the content on the website every month. She's had the flu, been down and out, so that's hopefully she'll be back in action here soon. But we lost a writer about a year ago. And it's primarily been like two primary writers on Geek News Central. And I think it's time to expand that. So I'm looking for two people that want to become writers, write blog posts. And basically, the way I work, it's pretty simple. I don't dictate what you write. Sometimes I'll feed some articles. I've got a mailing list that we've set up that we, if something comes in that I think is decent, that maybe I want the writers to consider, I'll feed them an article or two. But for the most part, I let the team write what they want to write, so long as it's not self-promotion and that kind of stuff. But most of our writers end up on all of the distribution lists, end up with gadgets, and end up with review items. We've got invited to events, the whole nine yards. So just, getting your name on the banner or on the actual about page and being an editor and being a writer over here is a pretty big deal. So I hope that you'll consider, if you've got some writing skills, to apply. And all you can do is drop me an email, say, I'm interested in writing for you. And if you have some articles that you've written before, that isn't a prerequisite, but if you have some articles that you've written before, include those in the link. I just added a writer to another site that I manage as well, podcast related type stuff. So there's really a huge opportunity here, and we like to promote from within. And if someone in the audience wants to hook up, and I'm also open to show ideas too, adding a couple of shows this year. Specifically, gaming is one category I want to be in. If you're doing a gaming show and want to consider coming over, just drop me a line. I want to apologize for the last show. We had an echo, and that was purely my fault. I didn't have a switch turned to the right setting on one of the computers. So that's all fixed. So we should be good here. Today has been pouring all day in Hawaii. I mean, cats and dogs pouring. It was, of course, really, really nice. After the rain, you get that nice, fresh smell. But now the humidity is climbing up. And because we don't run AC in the house, I don't know what it is. My smoke detectors are going crazy. They're beeping like they've got a battery issue. And I just replaced the batteries less than a month ago on all of them. So there's something with these smoke detectors. When the humidity goes up, they beep, beep, beep. You know, it's like that low battery beep. And so I've had to just tonight, I had to unplug like three of them. And you don't want to ever do that, but it was driving everyone crazy. You guys ever seen that happen before? Maybe it's time to upgrade on the smoke detectors. Got a new mug here tonight, full of H2O. I do want to say, this has been a fantastic week for workouts. I'm back on track. I had a power workout tonight, before the show. A matter of fact, worked out a little too hard. Yesterday was a full like hour and 45 minutes of gym. I did an hour of cardio, then 45 minutes on the weight machines, and my arms and shoulders are feeling it. I didn't do any weights today. Didn't have time to do that. But yeah, I'm on it hard, folks. Back in the gym. I'm going to try to do 5 to 6 days a week. And see if I can get to that goal of 175. So had put on a little bit of weight while I was in Vegas and wasn't really being super careful on what I was eating. So back on track. So those of you that have been following me and actually losing weight with me, let you know that it's okay to fall off the wagon as long as you get back going here. So before we get into the content tonight, I did get an email. Several emails from TriCaster Jack. Jack is a longtime listener of the show, and he was busting my beep, and largely because, I mean, let me just read one of the things he said to me. He said, Todd, just admit it. You wanted an iMac Pro. You used a lame excuse that Windows committed suicide by corrupting its own boot sector. Well, it did that the first time, and I fix it, Jack. The second time, it's something else. Really? He says, where did your geek creed go? The most likely cause would be a failing hard drive or SSD, with the next most likely reason a virus. But you chose Windows suicide without even looking at the most likely cause. I would suggest you spend $100 on a new SSD for your old, he thought it was a laptop, it was a desktop, and give both to your son and have him learn how to rebuild a computer. Now that would be much better than a reason to buy an iMac Pro than say Windows ate my hard drive. Stay healthy with all your travels and activity. Aloha and mahalo, Jack. You know, it's true, but it's true in the sense that, well, here is my reply to Jack. I said, it wasn't a laptop that died. It was a desktop. The rest of my gang, and it's my gang here at the house, has already moved to Mac, but was perfectly honest, not enough hours in the day. We've had record sales growth the last couple of months over at Raw Voice, and I've been crushed. I told you guys in the last show, it's been... this morning, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, wake up call. Last night, I crawled into bed at 11. We've just been busy, 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 busy. And as before, there's not enough of me to go around currently. And plus, no excuses, but I've lost a couple of hours a day going to the gym. I used to sacrifice my health and just work. So at least I'm getting up and going to the gym and moving. But it, and really it, from a business standpoint, I've got team members that are on Windows, team members that are on Macs. So really we really don't dictate what the team uses. They can use whatever they're comfortable with. The devs primarily are all on Windows machines, and then the rest of the team are on Macs. So, for me, what made my decision point a move finally is that of all the machines I've had probably in the last 5 years, I've had the least number of trouble with Macs than I have on Windows machines. Now, the Windows machines did not give me much of a hassle. But, and I'm sure I'm going to be, 2 months from now, I'm going to be complaining about something the Mac did. But for me, it was really kind of, and again, it was all about keeping my production level up. I didn't have time to geek out on a on the desktop and rebuild it and mess with it and reset. Yeah, it was an expensive day, but I don't have any hours. And that's the plain truth of this at this point. And trying to find a little time for family and everything else that goes around here. But thanks, Jack, for busting busting my, you know, beep. But it's okay. It is what it is. And but I did not, I'll be honest with you, I did not go in the store with the intention to get the iMac Pro. I had planned on going and just getting an iMac. And really what did it to me was they didn't have in the store the model that I would have ordered. The model I would have ordered would have been about $29.95. It would have been the top end iMac. And they had a much lower level one. I was worried about total RAM. Again, I kind of talked about this and I had a little peer pressure, maybe. I don't know. But long story short, it's here. It is what it is. Got more firepower than I will ever need on a desktop. But I will say, from a flow standpoint, you guys haven't seen it completely yet on the show, but much better workflow. Things are going to work out here a lot better. It's just the way it is. Okay. Also, I put a shout out on Facebook a couple of days ago, and I said I was at 7994, something like that, Twitter followers. I went over 8,000, and thank all of you that followed me the last week or so, or last two or three days. But I will say this: I think the person that was the 8,000 follower was Ron, and my buddy Ron. Ron, if you are listening to the show, my friend, I think you were number 8,000. I keep counting back, and it looks like you were the one that pushed me over. So Ron out in the East Coast, Ron C, I don't want to say your name, but thanks for pushing me over. And I'm all over by a little bit now. This could fluctuate, 8,004 followers on Twitter. If you're not following me on Twitter, please do so. Geek News is the Twitter account, twitter.com/geeknews. Okay. I saw something today. I saw an article on Wired that kind of made me go, And what it is, and I want you all to think about this a little bit. We've talked about autonomous cars, right? So autonomous cars are, you know, at some point we're going to get in them. We're going to say, take us to wherever. And the car is going to get us to where we need to go, to our destination. And probably very little intervention on our part. 10 years, it's going to be pretty standard, right? But I've kept saying here for a while that the biggest industry that is going to be impacted the most is the truck driving business. And my thought process this whole time has been is that you'll have this truck with a driver that's going to be rolled out onto a highway, into a staging area. The driver's going to get out of the truck and the truck's going to take off. And then, you know, 1,000 miles later, when the truck has got to its final destination through the interstate system in the United States, it's going to stop and there's going to be someone else that's going to get in that truck and drive it the last 20 miles to its destination. And that's been my brain set on how this is going to work. But Phantom Auto is working on technology where they're going to establish call centers where a few humans will watch over a fleet of someone else's robo-cars. If one gets in trouble, a human can use a steering wheel and a pedal combo to whatever needs doing. So here's the story, and I'm going to read just a little bit from this. He says, usually we don't do this during rush hour, says Ben Chuckman. He's driving a Lincoln MKZ sedan, trying to exit a gas station driveway across four lanes of traffic so he can make a left at the light about 20 yards ahead. It's 5 p.m. in Palo Alto, and Silicon Valley commuters are crawling home, leaving few gaps between the cars. Finally, the car in the closest lane stops, leaving him a space. The car in the next lane over does as well, and he slides in and makes the left. And then he turns the vehicle over to itself to continue driving. And he controls the Lincoln from the kind of setup you'd find in the bedroom of a too serious fan of racing video games, and he's showing off the type of remote control capability that every major player in the world of robotic driving will end up relying on in some form or another. So if you think about this, you have a semi-truck driver hanging out in a nice air-conditioned room, and all of a sudden his screen lights up. He's in a truck. Computer tells him where that truck has got to go. He sees he's got all the cameras. He's got backup. He's got, matter of fact, he's got much better view than what he would have if he was sitting in the driver's seat. He's got what's in front of him, what's the side of him, what's in back of him, what's right or what's left. He's got multiple angles of cameras that he can see. And he's got a steering wheel, and basically he puts a truck in gear and drives the truck to its destination. Now, maybe they need someone in the yard to back the truck in. Who knows? But maybe the trucks will get good enough where they don't need someone in the yard to back them in. Maybe they'll back them in themselves. This is going to change everything even worse than what I thought it was going to change it before. I thought at least there would be short haul drivers, but those short haul drivers will never have to get inside the cab. They'll be in a center. And the center's going to show the best route. It's going to make sure that you stay within weight restrictions. It's going to allow the truck driver to multitask. Maybe he doesn't need to self-drive it all the way there. Maybe he just needs to get it on the highway and navigate a busy intersection or something. Are there going to be hiccups around? Yeah. Is there going to be data issues? Yeah. But if you are a truck driver and you are a truck company and you know that your labor costs for your vehicle costs X number of dollars per year, you know, you can recoup that very, very quickly by not having a driver in the seat and having a high-speed internet connection to that truck with relatively low latency in and around these areas where these trucks need to go. There's opportunity for data jobs, but at the same time, there's going to be huge, huge, huge disruption. Now, this is, I'm just talking about semis. What's next? Is it going to be all our vehicles? We won't even have to, if we kind of get stuck somewhere, someone will take over. You're going to have an actual chauffeur that without the person being in the vehicle, they're controlling the vehicle remotely. Now, there's a question of lag and all that, right? So it has to be almost real time. So there's going to have to be solutions put in place to make this data happen. Because you can't afford to have a 3 or 4 second lag, right? That spells disaster, you know, because the light turns green and, you know, the vehicle that's in front of you is a robot car and it sets there 3 seconds before it moves. So this lag issue will have to be solved. So I could see these data centers being really within wired distance or RF radio range, and it could be all over the country. So maybe there'll be a whole industry of just drivers. You know, professional drivers, because most of the day cars are sitting still, right? People drive to work. You know, not to say that car couldn't go off and do something else, earn you money during the day. Who knows, right? So I think these remote controlled cars coupled with artificial intelligence and self-driving vehicle is going to be a game changer. And quite frankly, I can't wait. But I think there's probably going to be a lifetime of work in and around that whole ecosystem to support that ecosystem. So it's exciting. It really, really is. But you're going to have the training to do it. You're going to have to be a little bit tech savvy. So very, very cool. All right, next, moving on here. There's a site that will automatically rebook your hotel if the price drops. So, you know, I've had to make reservations for Florida. I use points, so it's not where the ticket, where the price is going to change. I'm locked in and I've got my rooms. I use award points, but oftentimes I'll book a hotel and I'll come back a few days later and the price will be cheaper. And it always irritates me. There's no guarantee if you cancel your reservation and make a new reservation, whether or not you're going to get the cheaper rate. But this site, what they're going to do and how they're going to work it is this company, and it's called GetService.com, is they're going to monitor the rate of your hotel reservation. If it decreases, it's going to automatically rebook it for you. And how they make money on that is they take 30% of the savings that you have, that you're basically going to save. So if it was $100 a night and the price goes to 90, they're going to get $3 of that. They're getting 30% of that savings for doing that rebooking for you. To use the service, you must first connect Gmail or Hotmail. And once you do that, the service will continually scan your inbox for relevant metadata. And if in the sender's subject line it sees something related to hotel reservation, say it's from Sheraton, the subject line is hotel reservation, it'll download the email. And then it'll basically start tracking that hotel. There's no charge up front, again, but if it finds a better deal, you pay a fee equivalent to 30% of whatever you save. So if it saved you $30, again, the service is going to charge you your credit card $10. So this is huge. For frequent travelers, there's also a subscription plan that costs $49 per year. With that route, all the savings you earn, whether you're through airline delay, compensation, or hotel bookings you keep, are yours. You don't have to pay them the 30%. So at the moment, this works with Marriott, Hyatt, Starwood, Intercontinental, and Hilton. And I use primarily Marriott, Hilton, Starwood. So I don't use Intercontinental and I don't use Hyatt. And, but the bookings must be refundable and changeable and made with cash, not points. And, the company says it plans to add online travel agencies like Expedia, Travelocity, Hotels.com, Trivago, and Priceline in the coming weeks. So, this is pretty good. Now, hotels rates fluctuate all the time. In the top 25 markets in the U.S., hotel rates drop 36% of the time. The average drop is 10%. And the average rate is $153 a night. In other words, you might save around $15 on a typical booking. I want a service that looks for available reservations. So I'm already planning travel for April. So in April, I'm going to be going out to Vegas for NAB. My company is exhibiting there. I'll be there for the week. I fly home, repack the suitcase, and the next day I leave for a 3-week East Coast trip. And I'm now at this point shopping hotels, and what I really, and there's a few hotels I like to stay at in the areas I go to that have no rooms. I can't get in. So my challenge really is I want to be able to have a service that watches for a reservation opening up at that hotel and then books it as soon as someone cancels a reservation instead of me logging in every day and looking. That's what I really want. That's what I'll pay for. SNES Classic sales continue to climb, now surpass 4 million units. So you might actually get one of these at some point. So they've sold 4 million of these. These are still notoriously difficult to attain. And, they're going to manufacture a new run of the earlier console as well. So that's exciting later this summer. So, this is big. And we'll see what happens here with this. But keep an eye out. If you're wanting to get one, you can't go wrong in buying it, even if you don't keep it. YouTube TV. I'm just so frustrated with this. YouTube TV has arrived on Roku devices. The YouTube TV standalone online TV streaming service has been expanding. Again, the service enables Roku users to stream live local sports and national news on demand. Also provides them with more access to broadcast and cable networks. I don't care about sports. I don't care about news. I just want a list of channels. But YouTube TV is currently live in more than 80 metro areas across the country, but not Hawaii. Therein lies my frustration. And I tried to, I think you can cheat the system, but maybe not. I've tried putting a different zip code in, and I'm sure I'd have to use a VNC or something like that. But a pretty good lineup of channels for $35. So I keep hoping it'll come here to Hawaii. Boy, the temperature in the studio tonight is on its way up. I've got the fan on, but because the humidity is so high, it's cooking in here. I'm glad I got the big jug of water. Bitcoin prices are falling further. And they fall further following the Facebook advertising ban. Bitcoin prices have been pretty volatile. They've dropped 50% in just over a month. The Bitcoin today reached as low as $9,022. When you consider the fact that the price was hovering around $20,000 in December, the price has declined by 26% in January alone and posted the worst month performance since January 2015. Ripple, the third largest cryptocurrency by market value, also posted double-digit decline today. Digital currency has come under pressure in the last 24 hours after Facebook announced new ads policies banning cryptocurrency and ICO-related ads. So, of course, the recent $530 million hack at one of Japan's biggest cryptocurrency exchanges has cut down on the hype as well. It's a combination of these factors that have contributed to the latest double-digit decline in Bitcoin price. It's all about securing it. If they can't secure the websites, if someone's running a shoddy operation, it's not good. Now, YouTube Go is rolled out in 130 countries. And this is for networks where, or for markets where connectivity is poor or cellular data is very expensive. It enables users to download videos that they can watch offline and even share locally with friends using a device-to-device connection. The app was previously available in a handful of markets, but has been rolled out in more than 130 countries today. The YouTube Go home screen displays trending and popular videos in the user's area. The app now has additional features as well, such as the ability to stream and download videos in higher quality. The company's also made it easier for users to get more specialized content. They can get new personalized content now with a simple pull of the home screen. Users had requested the app allow them to share multiple videos at once, and that's possible starting today. YouTube Go is Android only, and even with the wider rollout today, it's still focusing on markets where access to cell data is limited. Google is yet to confirm if it's going to launch the app in developed markets like the United States, Japan, Canada, England, France, and South Korea. But for those of you that are in countries with less access that's not as good, YouTube Go should be available to you, okay? What did I do? Did I kill that article by mistake? I think I did. Let me reopen the closed tab. There's more talk about NASA's budget and talking about, really what's going to happen with the International Space Station. So they're still worried about a 2025 shutdown of the International Space Station or as far as funding goes. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. So did you know that it is possible to use the web without a web browser? And most people would say, why would you do that? It sounds a bit crazy, doesn't it? Why on earth would anyone want to access the web without a browser? Well, securing privacy. Your browser may not work. Your browser may be blocked. You may have a slow connection. You may have an old PC, PC with incompatible browser. But you can download files without a browser. And, you know, you're not still going to be able to go to websites per se, but you can use applications like FTP. You can use stuff that's called wget, and it allows you to download files and web pages, and you can view them locally. There's something called PowerShell, can be used to download files as well. Of course, BitTorrent gets you access to media, of course. Curl can be used to download files from a website. So these are a few options for you. And again, there's ability to get RSS feeds and news groups and email. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's on the web that most people have forgot about. News groups. Remember news groups? Yeah. Some of you don't use email either. But I think this article is more of a reminder out there to remind you that the web is much more, the internet is much, much more than just going to Facebook, okay? So when is it time to get a student a laptop? When is the best time to buy a laptop for a student, including smartphones and tablets? You know, you can buy almost everything online at a discount. However, certain groups, specifically students, can get steeper prices. Students and educators receive the deepest discounts, but you need to know where and how to get student discounts on laptops, tablets, and other electronics. So when to buy is obviously roughly July to September. So if you're planning on that new student, is July to September is a good period. November, December is obviously holiday period. And then there are some discounts that start to happen now here in February. But you don't have to pay full price for these items. You can get some sweet student discounts across a bunch of providers. You can, number one, use Apple's education program. That's huge. That gets you a big discount. You've got the Best Buy student discount. You've got Dell student discount as well. Microsoft has one. Amazon does as well. HP, Lenovo. So oftentimes you have to kind of search for the area or how to apply for the discount. Sometimes it requires a student ID, sometimes a registration paper. So there's a resource I've got here for you tonight that is going to send you to those sites and basically get you into the areas where you can get those discounted tablets, laptops, and smartphones for your forthcoming college student or even high school student, something to that effect. All right. Hey, one thing I want to show you guys tonight, see if I can, I posted on Facebook if you saw it. So yesterday, in comes the delivery that I've been waiting on. And actually, it came in a small little bag. It's about, for those of you listening, it's about 3.5 by 6 or 7 inches. But they had a bigger bag that came with this that also has the all the chargers and everything else. But anyway, what I did is I bought the new Mavic drone. And this thing is absolutely incredibly small. I'm just blown away by how small this thing really is and how tiny. It's a jigsaw puzzle to open it up. And it's absolutely incredibly small. And many of you probably have seen some of the videos for it already on YouTube. But this thing will literally, when it's folded back up, it will fit in a cargo short pocket. Easy. It's incredibly small. I haven't got to fly it yet. I'll do it this weekend. But it just amazes me what DJI has been able to come up with here as far as the size of the drones. And, you know, I was talking with my son and about the drones, and I've got a Phantom 3 here that is, you know, really long in the tooth. and it, but it's got a lot of batteries and not, you know, probably less than 500 flight hours on it. And I'm like, let's sell it. You know, we don't need that. We haven't flown that Phantom 3 in a while. Let's sell it. So we're going to put it up on eBay and, you know, start getting rid of some drones. But this new Mavic Air is just simply incredibly small. And I'll be talking about it after I fly it. But that leads to a story that Louisville wants drones that zip to gunshot sites. The city is seeking FAA approval for a program that would dispatch camera-equipped drones to wherever there's gunfire. They've got one of those gunfire detection systems. So Louisville could become the first city in the United States to send automated drones equipped with cameras to a gunshot site, giving officers a live assessment of what's going on at the scene. The city has submitted an application with the FAA, and which allows state and tribal governments to apply for zones where drone operations could go beyond recreational. And the program was established as part of a directive issued by the president in October, which relaxed some of the rules governing commercial drone use. So again, another marketplace. There was going to be jobs, and more jobs for a lot of people for a long time. So the drone market's hot right now. Get in there and make it happen. Dashboard cameras, you know, I thought about launching a new website. And matter of fact, I shouldn't even announce the name of it because someone's going to go out and register the domain. But at least once on a daily basis, I get a little video of some driver that is doing incredibly stupid things in and around my vehicle. And, you know, dashboard cameras are great to protect yourself with video evidence from all sorts of trouble while driving. Everything from fender benders to insurance fraud. One that is getting some good reviews is called the Owl car camera. The unit features dual cameras, one 1440 cam pointed forward out of the windshield and a second 7020 aimed into the cabin. That interior camera lives beside a 2.4-inch screen that displays a duplex view of the two cameras. Like any good dash cam, the Owl features an accelerometer that can detect bumps and triggers an automatic recording of 20 to 30 seconds. And like most dash cams, Owl mounts to the windshield. However, Owl features a unique beam and suction cup mount that affixes firmly in just 5 minutes. The unit ships with multiple beam lengths for different size car windshields. And also, it's designed with a 4G LTE data connection and a built-in SIM and a subscription that allows its video clips to be uploaded to the web for editing. Viewing insurance service includes the ability to upload 60 clips or 60 minutes of live monitoring each month. Now, that's pretty cool. The 4G LTE services isn't just a nice bonus. It seems like a requirement for operation of the Owl since there's no way to get clips off the unit without the cloud service. So the onboard storage has a 24-hour video cache, but no SD card slot or USB connection, which is, in my opinion, a downside on this. So the pricing for it is $349. It's not cheap. And the online service is $10 per month. So, you know, if you've got an expensive car and you want it filmed all the time, this is a consideration for you out there, okay? Okay, Uber, Lyft, and others pledge to improve urban transportation. They've committed to work towards equity, renewable energy, and shared fleets. Among the signatories were Lyft, Limebike, Uber, Zipcar, Ofo, Mobike, and Ola. And to address concerns of over a dozen companies, they've committed to 10 shared mobility principles for livable cities. I haven't read this particular piece of what they've actually agreed to, but the future of mobility in cities is multimodal. That's a word they're using. When vehicles are used, they should be the right size, shape. Basically, you don't need a big truck to take you across town. So basically, they're trying to come up with ways to improve transportation and also reduce traffic, which would be very, very welcome here. Tesla is going to sell renewable energy products at Home Depot. So in a bid to expand its renewable energy products to a wider audience, Tesla has confirmed it's going to set up mini stores in Home Depot locations across the country, setting up mini stores across 800 of Home Depot stores in the United States would enable the company to test the mainstream appeal of its solar panels and its Powerwall battery. So I'm interested in the battery. Since we are fighting the cold and flu, there's a good article about different products that are on the market today and may catch you up. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Kirk found that one. Also, some very, very cool pictures from CNET talking about some computer mods. Some people have really went out and built some incredible, incredible computers. And I don't know what real usable use they are, but anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for some of these images. Of course, when the Space Shuttle Columbia tumbled out of control during Rancher in February 1st, 2003, 15 years ago today, the orbiter was just west of Dallas, 30 miles up and traveling more than 12,000 miles per hour. The 100-ton spacecraft quickly broke up, sadly killing all seven astronauts on board and raining debris along a path stretching from central Texas to western Louisiana. But recovering the shuttle's crew and figure out what went wrong took a long time, and engineers had to make major changes to the shuttle. But there's a new book. It's called Bringing Columbia Home: The Untold Story of a Lost Space Shuttle and Her Crew. Michael Leinbach, NASA's last shuttle launch director, and co-author Jonathan Ward put together an insider's day-to-day account of the salvage operation, shedding light on enormous challenges that define the search and recovery effort. This is a book I'm going to have to buy. And just reading some passages out of this, and and he talks about the crew and, you know, what the crew went through. And, but anyway, it should be a very interesting read. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on this if you want to pick it up. Again, Bringing Columbia Home: The Untold Story of a Lost Space Shuttle and Her Crew. So, looks like a book to buy. So sad, that crew. Surface Pro 4 owners are putting their tablets in the freezer to fix a screen flickering issue. If you got a Surface Pro and it's flickering, Microsoft knows about the issue, but if your notebook's out of warranty, putting in the freezer might help. Might temporarily reduce the flickering. They say they get about half hour's use out of it after 10 minutes in the freezer. Another user posted a video showing how the flickering stops as soon as the Surface Pro is. Basically, they say it's because of heat that Microsoft will not be able to fix with a software patch. It's currently affecting less than 1% of all Surface Pro 4 devices. But this may be a way to at least get your media off it. But while Microsoft recommends that owners contact the support lines, devices are generally out of warranty. Some affected users are reported paying $800 for an out of warranty exchange with Microsoft to fix the hardware issue. Surface Pros are marketed and priced as premium devices. So we will see. With a little pressure, Microsoft should make good on this. But so far, that doesn't appear to be the case. There's a secretive air taxi startup called Joby Aviation. They've raised $100 million. And they are some sort of air taxi service that's going to come to market. I'm all for this. I don't know what it's going to cost, but they've been conducting test flights at its airfield in Northern California. Anyone listen to the show up in Northern California? Be nice to get some pictures of this bad boy and see what it actually looks like. The pilot, basically what's happening here is, it's a hybrid with 12 rotors and room in the cabin for four passengers. And the company won't provide any recent photographs, but apparently the vehicle was able to do a vertical takeoff, 15 minutes of flight in a 15-mile loop and a safe landing. So, that's very, very cool. Anything to avoid the traffic here in Honolulu would be a welcome addition. All right, there's a story out about Microsoft. They're extending Windows 10 support, but they've made cuts to Office 2019. In the old days, Microsoft's support policy for Windows and Office was simple. Each release had 5 years of mainstream support. With Windows 10 and Windows as a service, that policy's gotten all shaken up. So basically what they're going to do is, it looks like they're extending Windows 10. How long? Does it say? Okay, they're going to extend Office 2019 to October 14th, 2025. Office 2019 won't, however, offer the usual 5+ support policy. Instead, its support lifecycle is being tied to Office 2016. After 5 years of mainstream support, it will receive only 2 years of extended support, with both Office 2016 and Office 2019 extended support ending October 14th, 2025. And it looks like Windows 10 will be a standard 5-year a support window, but because a lot of people are being forced to Office 365, you're in a perpetual update. Some people have their last standalone version of Office that they'll ever have. So, how many of you have done Office 365 versus going to Office 2019? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, Apple is selling refurbished iPhone 7 and 7 Plus phones now. So you can save some cash. For a refurbished 7, you'll pay $499 for a 32-gig model, $589 for 128, and $679 for 256, which works out to a $50 or $70 off the price. iPhone 7 Plus models are at $599, $689, and between $599 or $689, which is about $70 to $80 off the price of a full new model. So the company started selling refurbished phones again with the iPhone 6 in November. And the February start time for iPhone 7 makes Apple comparative late to the party this year. There was a bunch of earnings announcements. I don't know if we've got it in the stack today, but Apple had a big, big quarter. If you want to watch the big game online, I've got an article on how to do that where you can see it. Watch on your computer and your tablet or your TV. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Or maybe many of you will go to a bar and just watch it at a bar. Windows 10 also now is showing users what data it collects and phones in. With Windows Insider Build 17083, Microsoft responded to criticism about transparency by adding a diagnostic data viewer app for the OS for beta users to try out. And apparently this is going to come to Windows 10 on a future update here. So you're going to actually be able to see what data is being sent to Microsoft. Talking about geek creed here, and Jack busting on me a little bit. There's a good article over here on Extreme Tech, how to build a PC in 2018, choosing the right components, talking about case, cooling, motherboard, whether it be the CPU, GPU, everything you need to build that monster machine that you want as a gamer. United is announcing it's tightened its policy on emotional support animals, just as Delta has done. So basically same type of adoption of rules. Basically for your emotional support animal, you're going to need a doctor's paper and you're going to need some training certificates as well. Link will be up in the show notes. LG boot loop lawsuit settlement, $425 in cash or a $700 rebate. LG has been fighting a losing battle with Samsung in the mobile space. And part of LG's problem might be long-term reliability of its phone. Owners of the LG G4, V10, V20, Nexus 5X, and G5 filed a class action lawsuit against the company last year, and the parties apparently reached agreement. LG were offered up to $425 in cash or $700 toward the purchase of a new LG phone. These issues became apparent in 2015 with the release of the G4. So if you've got one of these phones, you may be able to get a credit here, okay? Link will be up in the show notes on that. San Francisco, they're seeking universal fiber broadband with net neutrality and privacy. So San Francisco's trying to find network providers to build a citywide gigabit fiber internet service. Good for them. Good for them. Another city-based system. This is big, folks. This is a way to go around the incumbents. And this is very, very important here. And the city issued a request for qualification to find companies that are qualified to design, build, finance, and operate and maintain a ubiquitous broadband FTT fiber to the premises network that permits retail service providers to lease capacity on the network. The project would also involve a free Wi-Fi service for city parks, city buildings, major thoroughfares, and visitor areas. Low-income residents would qualify for subsidies that make home internet service more affordable. So, believe it or not, 100,000 people in San Francisco do not have internet service, which seems crazy considering how it costs to live there. Well, maybe that's the reason it costs too much to live there. Google Assistant can wake you up with a favorite song. You can now set music alarms, a feature that arrived on Amazon Rival keyword voice assistant in December. So have Google Assistant enabled smart speaker. Your morning could be a little more pleasant. So, I don't want to call the instructions out on the show, but the link will give you the instructions on how to set that up. Appeals court has thrown out a case blaming Twitter for an ISIS attack. The lawsuit followed the death of two U.S. government contractors in Jordan. The woman suing Twitter basically has lost the case. The case began in 2015 when her husband was killed during an incident that took place over the previous November. Court documents on the woman's site claim that Twitter has knowingly permitted the terrorist group ISIS to use its social network as a tool for extremist propaganda, raising funds and attracting new recruits. So that lawsuit's done and over with. It's out. Facebook usage is down by 50 million hours daily in the United States. Well, that's interesting. So this is a little bit of a drop. But they went from 185 million hours a day to 184 million. Wow, big change, right? But Facebook people might be a little estranged on Facebook. And also speaking of Facebook promoted conspiracy theories surrounding the recent Amtrak crash that had all the House Republicans on it. And all kinds of people were spreading all kinds of conspiracy theories, and it was about hit on the representatives and on and on and on. So people had fun with that one. Also, I do have a number of articles. I'm going to save it all to the end. I want to just kind of bring to you guys' attention stuff that we've posted on Geek News Central over the last couple of days. I'm running out of time here. New York is lobbying to New York lobs $210 million at telcos to hook up 120,000 homes, businesses with basically slow broadband. The U.S. state of New York has unveiled a massive new project to provide broadband for virtually all of its residents. This is beautiful. The governor said this week that the project known as the New York Broadband Round 3 will enlist 43 telcos that will set up satellite broadband coverage in the most remote parts of the states. Yes, there is a life outside of Manhattan and the boroughs. You go upstate, it's pretty country. Phase 3 will be the final phase of the broadband project the state kicked off in 2015. Phase 1 and 2 connected up about 98% of the state, leaving only the most far-flung portions, 122,000 homes and business to be exact, left for that phase. So it's $1,700 per building, but still, it gets people broadband no matter where they're at. Bravo for New York for doing this. Apple announced a quarter one 2018 revenue of $88.3 billion. They sold 77.3 million iPhones, 13.2 million iPads, and 5.1 million Macs, and with a profit of $20.1 billion. Although they made less money, or they had less revenue, they made more money through you know, tightening the expense ship up. So good for them. 2017 was Amazon's best year so far. They had a big quarterly earnings report. The company made $60.5 billion in the last few months, which is close to a 36% increase when compared to this time last year, adds to a quarter-to-quarter net income of $1.9 billion. Its biggest record profit ever, partially thanks to a $780 million tax boost. Wow. So Amazon doesn't usually break out its sales category, but they did say that a lot of it has to do with the keyword Amazon device adoption in the past year. There are now over 30,000 skills from outside developers, and customers control more than 4,000 smart home devices from 1,200 unique brands with the Amazon device. So this is huge. And of course, Prime was big. Fire Stick TV and Echo Dot were the best-selling products across all of Amazon in 2017. So AWS, which my company spends a lot of money on, recorded $5.1 billion AWS sales, and overall revenue from the cloud business grew 45% from a year ago. Massive. Let's see here. Google says it's cloud now brings in $1 billion per quarter. Alphabet on Thursday disclosed revenues of its Google Cloud, and Google Cloud is thought to be number three in the public cloud market behind AWS, and of course behind Microsoft Azure. So, but Google Alphabet had a lower than expected earnings, so they got hit a little bit on their stock today. The Amazon keyword now can dash off text messages to Android phones. Amazon Tuesday introduced a new function that enables its keyword virtual assistant to send and receive SMS messages on devices running Android 5.0 or higher. The software powers the Echo line of smart speakers can play and send personalized messages from contacts for users to set up the voice profiles. I'll have that link up in the show notes and how you can do that. There's an op-ed about how Apple was right to throttle iPhones, but a little bit of a little bit of slapping going on against Apple. Matter of fact, my mom took her iPhone 6 to get a new battery put in it. She had to drive about 45 miles to the store. They were out of batteries. They didn't offer an exchange. They said that they're making batteries all the time, and they basically were given a time to come back to get their battery switched out. So she didn't get a new phone or an upgraded one. So I don't know what the situation with that is and where people are getting those deals or not. There's a good article on Wired talking about the formula for phone addiction might double as a cure. And it talks about really our overall addiction to our devices and what people are doing to find a cure and help cut this screen time down. And it takes us three ideas: motivation, trigger, and ability, and reorients them towards unplugging us from our phones. For example, you can remove triggers from certain apps by adjusting your notification settings. Or better yet, turn off all push notifications. This basically decreases the number of bing, bong, pings that you're going to get from your phone. So it talks about some stuff you can do to help your phone addiction become lower. All right. Also, there's a cool article over in the Washington Post, and I very rarely say that. Meet the amateur astronomer who found NASA's lost satellite in space. Amateur astronaut Scott Tilley. This guy looks really familiar. I saw this guy's face, and I'm like, that looks like somebody I know. But he lives up in Maine. He was in his home office on a recent evening using his radio equipment to scan space in a needle in a haystack search for a satellite operated by the U.S. Air Force. And instead, he found a lost NASA satellite and found its track and confirmed it. And NASA's thrilled. Now that they know where it's going, they might be able to recover it. So NASA's very, very excited. We'll see where this goes. AT&T's financial figures reveal 19 billion reasons why it lobbied hard for U.S. tax cuts. The telco gave 5% to staff, 5% for CapEx windfall for shareholders. But AT&T had a $19 billion tax reward from the tax cuts. So it don't tell me tax cuts don't make a difference. Forget cyber crimes. It's time to start worrying about GPS jammers, a UK report is saying, a UK government report says. Says critical infrastructure and emergency services need a satellite backup. UK must reduce the depending if it's a critical infrastructure and emergency service on GPS technology to mitigate against the potential disastrous impact of signal jamming. Okay. You know, the signal for GPS is very, 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 very small. And GPS denial is a real thing. So interesting that this report is out. Just search GPS denial. You're going to get a 20 pages of Google search results. A new report claims that the iPhone 10 outsold the iPhone 8 2-to-1. Based on some of the Apple sales numbers, I don't know if that's true or not, but someone seems to think that they did. eBay is going to eventually replace PayPal as its main payment processor. And they've been pretty much synonymous with each other in the longest time. But it seems that partnership will be coming to an end, but according to an announcement by eBay. eBay has announced that they've signed an agreement with Adyen, A-D-Y-E-N, a payment processor from Amsterdam. We're moving forward. Adyen is expected to be the platform's main payment processor. Well, that sucks. eBay is just much easier to use with PayPal. Google's cracking down on ads featuring cryptocurrency, so it's not just Facebook. It's Google as well. So this is big. Google also says it's going to be cracking down on similar ads. In Google's case, it seems that they aren't going to the extremes of banning ads, but they are going to monitor them. So the Bitcoin stuff can't allow Bitcoin to succeed. Oh, no. Nintendo's confirming Mario movie, co-produced by Shigeru Miyamoto. And we're going to have a new movie. And it looks like the rumors are true. All right, for the final couple of articles here tonight, I just want to make you aware of some of the interviews I've done at CES that are available. Colibri's Magic Toothbrush brings artificial AR to brushing your teeth. I think you guys will get a kick out of this video. Just watch for my eyeball reactions. Petrix helps owners shed pounds at CES 2018. This is about a pet bed that's pretty cool. So those of you that love your pets and want to make sure your doggy or cat is primarily dogs, I think at this point, are getting the right exercise and eating and all this stuff, you're definitely going to want to check this video out from Petrix. Another video that's out there is if you are into hydroponics, and you have a small space, don't worry. You can grow your own with Opcom Indoor Hydroponics. This was amazing. I mean, it really, really was amazing. I saw this thing and I wanted one for my garage or extra parking space. This thing is cool. And when you see it, those of you who are into this kind of stuff, you are going to want to bust out the credit card. I'm honest. Cano is introduced some new codes for kids. This is pretty cool. I'm a big fan of the products from Cano and their new Pixel Kit. And these are like little electronic projects for folks, for your young adults at home. And definitely check this out. It shows what the kit can do. Very, very cool. Also, BioKey. Some of the stuff that was just simple at the show. $39, biometric locks, that type of stuff. When you see this video, I'm going to be honest with you, from BioKey, please tell me that this guy that was in this booth, he could sell anything. This guy had his lingo down. He was the best pitch man I've seen at CES in many, many years. I'm serious. This dude was really good. And when you watch the video, I think you're going to agree with me. He turned a very mundane product into a very cool demo. So have definitely check that out. These are all on Geek News Central right now. Also, do you have a problem hearing people in crowds? Listen is a product. You can hear the conversation. It's not a hearing aid. This is a device to assist you to hear people clearer. And they're priced from $149 to $199 and be available in April. But these are truly to help you hear other people in noisy environments. It's pretty slick. It really, really is. And last, oh, I already got that one up. So anyway, that's the stack tonight, right? Oh, and we're almost on time. Beautiful. So here's the deal. Thank you for being patient while I kind of get stuff dialed back in here. And of course, Jack, thank you for your feedback. Of course, Nigel dropped me an email. He said, Todd, I hope the launch works, but if it blows up, oh, I already talked about this. He wanted to listen on Elon Musk's call to his insurance agent. But drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Be back with you on Monday. Everything's still good here. Remember, I do not leave for my daughter's wedding until we got about another week and a half left together, I think. Maybe more than that. I don't know. I have to look at I leave on the 15th, which is a Thursday. So there'll be no Thursday show on that week. Maybe I'll see if I can find some step-in host while I'm out. Because I'm going to be out for at least 1, 2, 3. Yeah, for at least 3 shows. So let's see if we can get a guest host to come in. If you want a guest host in your podcaster, let me know. All right, folks, thanks for being here. Todd Cochran, Geek News Central, geeknews@gmail.com. Stay subscribed to the show. Tell your friends and family members about it. Support our sponsors. It's been my pleasure bringing the show today. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.